Good afternoon. For some time now, I've had a pressing within, a pressing feeling to make this series of talks called The 3 Degrees of the Spiritual Path. And the reason is, it has taken me 35, almost 36 years of walking this path to see what I see. And that is the need for all of us to understand that there are 3 distinct stages or degrees on this spiritual path. Joel calls them the first degree, the second degree, the third degree. They are stages of consciousness, definite stages that we walk in. And in each degree, there are initiations that prepare us for the next degree. Ultimately, we arrive at the goal of not knowing the truth, but becoming the truth. Now, in these 35, 36 years, I have seen hundreds of people, many of them, if not most of them, studying the infinite way. And they find, and I see, and in my own experience it was the same, I would go to my local bookstore, I would see an infinite way book, and I would buy it, bring it home, and read it, without the slightest understanding that I may be reading a book that I was not quite yet ready for, because I hadn't taken the necessary steps. Now, we are told specifically in the Contemplative Life book that we should tell beginners to start with living the infinite way, to read that book, practice some of its principles, and then go on to practicing the presence. For it is by practicing the presence that we gain the ability to remember more than we forget that that presence is wherever I am. And finally, we are told that we should have them go on to the art of meditation, because that will enable one to learn how to meditate. First, of course, it will teach one how to contemplate scripture or statements of truth. And then it will allow one to, one of these fine days or evenings or nights, momentarily come to an end of that contemplation, in which there is a split second of silence, and that presence we have been declaring throughout our days when we were practicing the presence suddenly becomes an inner experience, a very real experience. And then it's no longer a theory. Now we have felt that presence. And from there we are told they can go on pretty much to any book they would like, probably to The Art of Spiritual Healing. But my experience and that of others that I witness, we don't do that. We go down to our local bookstore or to our library and we come home with Beyond Words and Thoughts, which is really for an advanced student that has had years, not days, not weeks or months, multiple years of meditation. Or we come home with the Thunder of Silence, which is very advanced. Even the people, the students in his day, Joel said, probably would not understand it, and it wouldn't be understood for years and years to come. Yet I see beginners. They've never heard anything about the infinite way. They take those books home and they read them, and they go back and they get others. They might get consciousness is what I am, or leave your nets, or realization of oneness. And they cannot understand them. They cannot put them into the principles into practice for the most part. And it leads to confusion and to the feeling this doesn't work. And that need not be so. Because it was spelled out for us what these three distinct stages or degrees are, what we should look for in each one, which books are helpful in each stage, in each degree, and even which talks. In my own case, at the age of 22, and I'm now 53, at the age of 22, I'm going on 54, I picked up Realization of Oneness, The Thunder of Silence, A Parenthesis in Eternity, and I had no idea what I was reading. Oh yes, it felt good. It felt very good while I was reading it. But I was not ready for it. I should have been sticking with practicing the presence and the art of meditation and living the infinite way. Because I was a beginner. I was in the first degree. There was a man that tried to warn me of this, but he had very little time to do so. He was my first spiritual guide. I had bought a copy of A Parenthesis in Eternity. I had brought it to a meeting, a spiritual meeting, where this man was. We were both to talk that night. It was my first talk ever. And it was his, he was the main speaker. He was to talk for an hour. Well, I got up and I talked for about 15 minutes and we had a coffee break. And during that break, I went up to Don and I said, Don, I'm really enjoying this A Parenthesis in Eternity. And he said to me, oh, I wish you had started with metaphysics first. You need to do that before you go to the mystical. And then the coffee break was over. And he got up and he started to speak. And 10 minutes into his talk, he looked down at the podium where he was standing, and he fell over dead. That is, he left this plane. He just dropped his body right there and he was gone. Now, in the commotion, and in the weeks and months that followed that, I was stirred up emotionally, mentally, and whatnot, and I forgot that he had told me I should start with the metaphysics first. And so it's been 33 or 34 years since then, and I see it all clearly, and I understand it now. But if I had heeded what he had tried to tell me, I could have saved myself a lot of years of struggle, because I would have started at the beginning like I was supposed to. The result was, I tried to understand the mystical part of the message before I understood and practiced the metaphysical part. And that leads to some real struggles. Eventually, through hard work, many soul-searching questions late at night, I determined that I needed to start over. And so I did. I started all over. Let me forget everything I thought I knew, put these other books away, and start with practicing the presence and meditating. And so I would love to see others spared that difficulty. And maybe this will help and maybe it won't. But if it's out there, at least someone can find it that is wanting to know how to do this. And it will help if they pay attention. And so I can only say to you, please, 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 go and follow the direction that's laid down for us. Don't jump in the middle. And don't jump in at the top. If I start a job as an industrial engineer, I start at the bottom and work my way up. Or work my way in until I've developed the skills. And it's the same on the spiritual path. We start out as a novice. And the first thing we have to do is learn the letter of truth. Some of us think that's not important, and we can just jump right in with the spirit. We are mistaken. That is incorrect. And so this series of talks is going to be on the first degree, the second degree, the third degree, and some of the beyond. Now, if you're new, you've never read the Infinite Way books, well, let's start at the beginning. Let's start in humanhood. We know in humanhood, because we've all lived it, that the best we can do is live by the Ten Commandments. We have a God out there somewhere in the universe, up in the sky or beyond the stars. We have us down here. And we know that we can go outside of those Ten Commandments and bad things will happen. Because what we pour out into the universe comes back. And so even a human being knows that you can't give away forever doing bad things. It's going to come back. But if we live by the Ten Commandments, and we don't steal, we don't cheat, we don't lie, we don't commit adultery, we don't dishonor our parents, we don't murder, and those kind of things, then we're not pouring out bad things. We're pouring out decent things. We're pouring out honesty and integrity. We're pouring out love as best we can. And consequently, those are the things we get back. But because we still have a belief in two powers, sometimes bad things happen to us anyway. I saw a title on a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And of course, the things that I read in there were not the way I see them. But the point is that this is the best a human being can do. And although Moses originally had the highest realization on earth, he had an actual experience of the I Am, that I Am. He could not give that realization to the people he was leading to the Promised Land. He could give them a set of rules where they could come up to good humanhood because they weren't even there yet. And that was his contribution, lifting all of humanity up to a level where it could be good human beings. And that's necessary before you can enter the spiritual path. And so, the very first thing is to learn how to be a good human being. But after a while, we begin to have these dark nights of the soul where bad things happen anyway. And we come to the place of grieving and being in pain where we cry out. There must be another way. There must be. Oh God, please show me what to do. I am so tired of suffering. We are ready for the spiritual path. We are ready to step into the first degree. Now, we have been given, we have been told several things about the first degree. In the first degree, well, we're kind of excited. We pick up living the infinite way or practicing the presence, and we come to believe, or we hope to believe, that I can practice spiritual principles and they will turn these bad things into good things. I can practice spiritual principles. If we enter the one of the metaphysical schools, then we get all excited. I can demonstrate things. I can demonstrate, I can practice spiritual principles, and I can demonstrate a new life. I can demonstrate health, a healthy body. I can demonstrate supply, an abundant supply. I can demonstrate the right companion, which I've never been able to have because I keep picking the wrong one. We get excited. We're on sort of a pink cloud for a while. And it's a beautiful stage. I remember being there. It's wonderful. We see God everywhere. We're excited. And so in the first degree, we start to believe God's not out there in the stars somewhere. God's near, very near. If we practice the presence and we practice the art of meditation, we may have even had a quick glimpse of a presence very near us. And it's beautiful. It's so lovely. We fall in love with it. This gentle presence. And we know that it has come that we should have life and life abundantly. And so we practice these principles. We demonstrate a new automobile. Oh, it's fabulous. Look at this. I brought this right out of the invisible. We demonstrate that perfect companion. Isn't she wonderful? Isn't he lovely? This is fabulous. We may have had a health issue, and we demonstrate health. And wow, I can climb this mountain now. And before, I was confined to a chair or a bed. We're really getting somewhere. We're demonstrating people, places, and things. Our focus is in turning the bad into good. Our focus is in turning illness into health, turning loneliness into companionship, turning lack and limitation into supply. And it is good. That's where our focus should be. If you're in the first degree, you do it and you enjoy it. You're supposed to. You've had enough of that human life. Come up a little higher now. This is great. In this stage, we're full of joy about all these miracles that are happening end over end. They just back to back. Every day there's some little miracle, and isn't it great? We want to go tell the whole world about this. And sometimes we do, and we find out they're not really interested. And sometimes we don't, because we read the warnings that say, no, you can't go save the world. And we heed the warnings and don't do it. But most of us are so bubbling over that we just can't help it. And then we're somewhat disappointed when we discover that they don't want that. Of course they don't want that. They're not ready for that. But it's part of the experience in the first degree. In the first degree, we're excited because we're seeing part of the old man disappear and part of the new man, the new creature, appear. And it's wonderful. It's in the first degree that we realize that the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But we're beginning to comprehend it. We're beginning to see that these principles work. They work. And in the middle of our excitement, sometimes we're presented with a problem. And when that happens in the first degree, we say, why did that have to come to me? I've been studying for a year or two. In the first degree, we want to be completely God-governed. But after the initial pink cloud wears off and some other problems come, we discover that, well, we're not completely God-governed. Not yet. We're God-governed part of the time. And part of the time we're, well, perhaps most of the time, we're still governed by the belief in two powers, or we still come under the law. We're not yet free, but we sure are excited. Yes, here in the first degree, we actually start to see there is a He, there is this presence. And if I get out of the way, He performs that which is appointed for me to do. He perfects that which concerneth me. These are actual experiences, and how lovely and how divine and how wonderful they are. In the first degree, we learn, I can't carry this resentment anymore. I've got to forgive these people. And that may be our first uncomfortable area, because although we've been enjoying this lovely presence, we probably were still harboring some resentments or some anger. We're probably still harboring some fears. But here in the first degree, it's brought to our attention, we're going to have to forgive these enemies. Somehow we're going to have to practice forgiveness. We're going to have to learn how to resist not, instead of being afraid and fighting. And so here in the first degree, we're just getting started with these principles. Sometimes we have, well, so many miracles you can't even count them. One after another after another. And it's wonderful to know that there is a presence. We're learning that we can relax in that presence. Joel says at the end of the first degree, we come to an absolute conviction that where we are, God is. We learn that there is a very gentle spirit, and it performs, supplies, and directs us. Now, when I was in the first degree, I was demonstrating all sorts of things. I demonstrated that companion. I wanted her to have, I remember, blonde hair and love God. And that's exactly what I got. A lady that had blonde hair and loves God. And I'm still with her, by the way. I remember I needed a large automobile, and I demonstrated a Dodge Caravan. Oh, I was so proud of that thing. Captain chairs and coffee cup holders and mug holders and stereo, and I could pile in the children we were working with and we could go places. It was great. Nothing wrong with it. Perfect first degree demonstration. Also in the first degree, I demonstrated an increase in my income. I practice these principles that God is my supply, and my supply is not my job. I mean, my job is not my supply, but rather my supply appears out here as my job. And I worked with that principle, and I worked with it, and it evolved into another job, and another job, and another job, until I was making, well, so much money that I called an infinite weight teacher and said, I don't understand this. I'm praying for love and making all this money. And he said to me, I think you have a misunderstanding. He said, the only reason this money's coming is so you can be freed up to do some of God's work. Oh. Oh. Okay, then. It's in the first degree that we seek this power of God to change the world, to change our life out here. We have discovered, we've found Aladdin's lamp. We can go within, we can apply these principles in living the infinite way, practicing the presence and the art of meditation, and some others. We discover we can practice those principles and change this world. It's fabulous. Metaphysics are fabulous. In the first degree, we still have a God that's separate. It's very near. It's a presence. Sometimes we feel it within. But for the most part, it's still God and me. There's me and there's this presence. Sometimes the presence is here and sometimes it isn't. And so here in the first degree, we practice the presence. We meditate as frequently as we can. Or perhaps not so frequent. And there are different ways that the presence announces itself to us or comes to our awareness. In the first degree, we may be meditating and we may get a feeling of this overshadowing presence. We may hear a voice. It could be an audible voice, very quick. Or it could be just an impression in the mind. We might receive an impartation, an understanding of a scripture that we never understood before. If it's legitimate in this first degree, there are always signs following. There's always some outer demonstration after this inner experience. And this is all a part of the world of metaphysics, the metaphysics of the infinite way. And so in the first degree, it's all about applying these principles to demonstrate or to change this world out here, or to change ourselves. It is said that in the first degree, we reach a place where we would like to believe the kingdom of heaven is within, but we're not entirely convinced. But by the time we come to the end of the first degree and we're approaching the second degree, we come to the absolute conviction that there is a presence dwelling within that can provide for us and change these things out here. But also, by the end of the first degree, we have a clear understanding of how short we are coming from living these principles all the time. And that's okay. We are about to enter the second degree. But before we go into that, let's give some examples of what you will be doing if you are living in the first degree. And so if you are doing this, don't try to move out of it. Stay in it until you are moved. This whole process, according to Joel, is anywhere from 2 to 22 years. And can be much longer, as in my case, if we don't do this in the proper order. So let's take a look at some of the things you can expect and that you might be doing if you are in the first degree, and how you can recognize that you're in the first degree. Some of the discoveries that you'll make are the nature of God and the nature of prayer. He tells us that
In the first degree, we should start with the very first book called Living the Infinite Way. And I noticed, I don't know if you've noticed, but I noticed, looking at the chapters, there's only 7 of them. He starts us with the mystery of the invisible, and then attaining the God experience. God is one. God as law and operation. I am the vine. God is omnipresent, and then he touches lightly on meditation. And so here in the first book, well, let's take an example here, a paragraph or two. He says, in material living, whatever can be gained from without is of necessity limited. But there is absolutely no limit to the attainment of a person who has discovered the secret of the inner life. Therein lies the difference between material and spiritual living. The secret of the inner life is revealed through meditation, which in its earliest stages is an act of conscious awareness, whereby we make contact with an area of consciousness within ourselves, which is actually the storehouse of our lives. You notice he is directing us here in the first degree that whereas we tried to get fulfillment and supply and companionship by going outside of our being out here in our human life, and when we didn't get it, we exercised more willpower or greater discipline, or we just grabbed it. Now he's pointing us within ourselves, and we're learning in the first degree, we can demonstrate these things. We can go within. And when we go within to the center of our being, well, he says, what will flow out are ideas. He says that there was a time when we went within and ideas came forth from within. So he's teaching us here in Living the Infinite Way that what we used to go out in the outer world for, we can turn within. And so you see, he's teaching us the nature of God. And very lightly, he's teaching us about prayer or meditation. But the whole emphasis on the book is he's drawing us away from the outer material world into an inner universe. And for those of us that have come from a religious background, perhaps one that was filled with dogma and ritual, this is something new. Even for those of us that came from a strictly mental background, this is something new. Going within and learning how to receive from the kingdom of heaven within. And so here in the first degree, we are slowly, slowly making the transition from someone living out here by our senses and by our thinking to someone that's going within and learning we can demonstrate our fulfillment from within out. We're learning that there is a God. We're learning that God cares. We're learning that God is one. We're learning that there's something called the vine. And we are a branch, and we can go within to the vine to get that which we need. And we are learning that God is omnipresent. That's probably the biggest thing we learn in the first degree. In fact, so much so that he emphasizes it, Joel does, when he says that at the end of the first degree, we are absolutely convinced that wherever we are, there is this presence. And from hinting at the nature of God and the fact that we can go within to draw out that which we need. He suggests that we then read this book called Practicing the Presence and start to practice the presence. Now, the chapters in this book are a little different. Spiritual consciousness, demonstrate God, God the only power, the infinite nature of individual being, love thy neighbor, to him that hath, here he touches again on meditation, the rhythm of God, a moment of Christhood, and the vision to behold. And in practicing the presence, he's teaching us, again, the nature of God, and just hinting at the nature of prayer. And I'm not sure he touches anywhere in here. I suppose he does a little bit on the nature of error. But that really comes into play, the nature of error does, in the second degree. Here in the first degree, it's all about learning we can go within. There really is a presence. And so this book is designed to help us get a conscious awareness of that presence and to practice it throughout the day. We are learning in the first degree a little bit about the letter of truth. Probably we still don't have the spirit of truth, but we're learning the letter of truth, and we're learning that by remembering the letter of truth throughout the day, we can demonstrate harmony and a harmonious life. It really does work. And if you're in the middle of this, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it just joyous? And so he gives us things to remember throughout the day, such as he performeth the thing that is appointed for me to do. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He's giving us slowly, gradually, the letter of truth. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you remember, this book is all about remembering throughout the day that this presence is with you. He's only touched lightly on meditation. He hasn't gone into it in great depth. His concern with these first two books is in teaching us the nature of God, very, very lightly the nature of prayer, and not much on the nature of error. So we're learning the letter of truth about the nature of God and how to practice the presence. All of this is the first degree. And if you recall, practicing the presence is when you first wake up in the morning before your feet hit the floor, he gives you a couple of examples, such as the wave is one with the ocean, so am I one with God. As the sunbeam is one with the sun, so am I one with God. These are the examples he gives you, and he encourages you to find your own. He's teaching you how to contemplate, how to be a contemplative throughout your day and night. He suggests that you contemplate the fact that when you sit down to your morning meal, the meal couldn't be there without the grace of God. The grace of God is responsible for the cattle on the side of 1,000 hills. He suggests before you go out the door in the morning that you remember God. God is just as much on the other side of this door as he is on this side. God goes with me throughout the day and will stay behind me as a rear guard. I remember that one because it was pretty interesting to me. He suggests before you get into the automobile that you're driving, or on the bus, or the subway, or the train, or the tram, or the trolley, or the airplane, that you remember that God is the only driver, that infinite intelligence is behind everyone that's driving these vehicles. And so, in this way, he he suggests that you remember God. You practice the presence. Really what you're practicing is the letter of truth. In the first degree, you don't have the Spirit, at least not on a continuing basis. You may have it occasionally, but not on a continuing basis. If you do have it on a continuing basis, you're not in the first degree. You're in the second. Now, finally, and this should take a year or two, he adds into the mix the art of meditation. And this is where it really gets deep. It still doesn't much touch on the nature of error. We're still pretty much in the nature of God and the nature of prayer. And the art of meditation is the nature of prayer, or the nature of meditation. So, this is assuming you're in the first degree. You have been realizing that you can go within to solve your life's problems. You've been practicing the remembrance that there is a presence within that goes with you wherever you are. It is. Now you're going to learn, to begin to learn, how to contemplate in order to reach that stage where you enter real meditation, which is a moment of silence in which you feel that presence you've been practicing. It's a very real feeling, a real God experience. And so here in the first degree, you start to practice meditation. He's broken this book into three sections. The practice, which tells you how to actually sit down and do it, including the difficulties. He has the next part is the experience, which is more on the letter of truth and how to contemplate that. And then he finishes it with part three, which is the fruits. Very important. How do you know if you're practicing meditation correctly? Because of the fruits. Over and over and over, he has said, if it's a real God experience you had within in your meditation, there will be fruits. Something will show up of a harmonious nature. So see, we're still in the realm of knowing the letter of truth, practicing the presence, practicing remembering that letter of truth throughout the day, sitting down in order to meditate, and beginning with contemplating these truths, these scriptures or statements of truth, and hopefully coming to the end of such contemplation where we have a moment of silence. He says, as we begin to recognize our good as the gift of God, you see, it's all about the nature of God and how we can turn within for a harmonious life. As we begin to recognize our good as the gift of God, we let the reasoning, thinking, planning mind relax. We listen for the still small voice, ever watching for the angel of the Lord, the Christ, the Father within. It will never leave us nor forsake us. It is our permanent dispensation. This listening is the art of meditation, in the learning of which we come to a place of transition where truth leaves the mind and enters the heart. So, in the art of meditation, he takes you on a little journey from contemplation and contemplating scripture and statements of truth and God to that place where you are silent, if only for a second, so that you can have your very first experience of the Spirit of truth. Because Paul tells us the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What Paul didn't say, but Joel does, is you must know the letter of truth to get to the Spirit, to have that spiritual experience. And so, in the first degree, we can expect, well, a lot of work if we come to it with only a human background. We've got a lot of unlearning to do. We've got to unlearn what they taught us in religion about a punishing God. We've got to unlearn what they taught us in religion about heaven and hell. We have a lot of unlearning to do. And we must make the transition from thinking that we have to go out there and get our good. We have to make the transition from that to turning within, to finding out there really is a presence. It really is with us. But it won't do us any good unless we remember it. We must know the truth that will set us free. Nobody can do that for us. So we start practicing the principles. We start learning the letter of truth. We start practicing the presence throughout our days and nights. We start to have little periods of contemplation. Maybe we have an actual moment of silence in which we think we felt something. We're not quite sure. Was that it? Is that what he's talking about? This is the time to go to someone that you trust, that you know has been on this path for some time, and ask them, "This is what I felt. Does this sound right to you?" If you do not have anyone around you, which seems highly unlikely because there's telephones and email, but if there's no one you can contact, I can tell you how you'll know if it's true. Because he told us in the Art of Meditation, you will know if it's a real God experience by its fruitage. When you have a real second or moment of silence in which you feel the Spirit, you can look for harmony to appear out here in some form or another. It could be a new opportunity, a new source of supply, meeting someone that you needed to meet right at the right moment. It can even be a parking space, he says, and I found that to be true in my life. Some form of harmony will show up without any effort. It just appears. That is, in the first degree, the Word made flesh. Now, do you see in the first degree what you're doing? All of this comes before the second degree. And my sense of it is that it should take a year or two. You can't possibly learn the letter of truth and begin to make that transition from being a total human being to one that starts turning within throughout the day, to one that has the actual experience of a presence, to one that no longer looks out there but looks within for their good to unfold, to one that has these moments of silence in which they actually feel this presence. You can't make that transition in a week or two or a month or two. It's going to take some time. And so you need to stay with it. I say you, me too. Everyone on this particular path needs to stay with this and not move to something else until it's time. In fact, you won't have to consciously decide to move to something else. You will just automatically flow into the second degree. And we're going to talk about that in the next talk. But I wanted to tell you what you can expect, and that is learning the letter of truth, practicing the meditation, practicing the presence, practicing contemplation leading to meditation, and coming to the point where you really begin to have one or two moments of feeling this presence. That is, going beyond contemplation to where your thoughts about Scripture come to an end. And suddenly there's a silence. And then a feeling of a presence is the best way I can describe it. Okay? All of that makes up the first degree, which should take a year or two. What happens next is you find yourself in the second degree. Now let's take a break. And if you feel all of this is old hat with you, then you should move on to the next talk, which is the second degree, or the second stage of the spiritual path. If you are not doing all of this, I don't want you to go on. There's no need to go on. The instructions are clear. Get these three books, read them. If you can find out what talks they were taken from, send off for the talks and listen to those tapes. Practice these things until you feel that presence and begin to feel it pretty consistently. I don't mean you feel it one day and then you don't feel it again for a month or 2 weeks. I mean you feel it pretty consistently. Practice it until you begin to feel that presence pretty consistently, several days in a row. Practice it until you start to run into problems that you can't solve by just practicing the presence. Practice it until something inside you says, it's time for you to learn not just the nature of God and the nature of prayer. It's time for you to learn about the nature of error and what can be done about that. Okay? Okay, so that's all for now on the first degree.